Well, this morning I have a question for you, and it's a big question, so you might need to think about it, mull it over before you're ready to answer. And so in the time when you're thinking about it and mulling it over, we're going to review where we've come since the beginning of January until now. And then I'm going to ask that question again. We're going to talk about it a little or a lot. And then we're going to look to what's next, where we go from here. So here's the question. Could you leave everything and follow Jesus? Okay, so think about it while I talk. So far in 2016, we've been exploring the theme of finding home. I never expected so many people to come to me and say how much this theme has moved them. I've heard people say, I've re-remembered some of the things that ground me in my faith. I re-remember some of the things in which I feel so at home with God. Some of the things they were telling me about was of creative things, such as art. They are going to get back to their roots of art, whether it be music or dance or painting or coloring in the adult coloring books that are so popular right now. And some have said, I'm getting back to my daily prayer and devotion and journaling. So many people have been touched by this idea of finding home. And some say they have found a home here in this space, as we've talked about home. All right, so let's think back a little bit to our Magi and Shepherds. So in the first week of January, we talked about how the Magi's studied the stars and were very intelligent, and they found their way to Jesus. And then we talked about the shepherds and how they had the angels came to them and said, you got to go check this out. Jesus has been born. You got to go see it. And that shepherd said, okay, let's go see what this is about. And they made it to Jesus. They both came by different ways, but they both made it to Jesus and they both worshiped him. And then we briefly talked about, probably not long enough, we briefly talked about Jesus' family rush to Egypt because it was unsafe for them to return home. So they were refugees living in Egypt for some time before they were able to make it back home. Jesus has been an outsider several times in his life. His home was not always safe, and he needed to find a new place to call home, just as many in our world find themselves today, trying to find a safe home. And then we talked about Jesus' baptism and how Jesus' baptism is not exclusive only to Jesus. We all have an opportunity to be baptized into the faith. We all have the opportunity to accept God's love. So we talked about how we are all beloved children of God, and the ritual of baptism brings us into community. In the end of January, we started the challenging conversation about white privilege. This conversation, I hope, will continue as we live and reflect and come to terms with the complicated layers and layers and layers of white privilege. I hope we are able to explore this I hope we're able to explore this with a guest speaker in the future. And my prayer is that one day all people will experience justice from morning until night, 365 days a year, no matter their outward appearance. And I skipped my vacation week, which is represented here. I went on vacation and we were able to have one of the great minds of our congregation speak. We have some laughers up here. Why are they laughing? About Martin Luther King Jr. and his influence and his humbling in our world today. And I listened to this sermon, and I also heard the tradition of finding home in spirituals, and also all the way back in African American history. So, and here's our equality and justice. And so we find ourselves today finding home once again. Our scripture today in Luke is a story that's found both in Luke, or in all of these, Luke, Matthew, and Mark. So it's nice to look at the different versions of this and see how the author has written the story. So in Luke, the key point is Jesus' teachings. The calling of disciples is secondary, even though it seems as though that is the most important part. But without discipleship, Jesus' teachings would not have continued. So discipleship is not the end, but the beginning. And it furthers the teachings of Jesus. And so I ask the question again. Could you leave everything and follow Jesus? It would be nice to say, well, of course I could do that. But then we might have to think about, what people might I leave behind? Who might not be willing to come with me? And would I be able to bring my cat? Or my clothes? Or even like my deodorant? Well, why would Jesus ask such a thing? Yesterday, we were talking about this at a workshop I attended, talking about this scripture, which is very interesting that it came up. And we had two thoughts. One is, we thought, maybe Jesus was asking this in this way because we are supposed to believe and trust that God will take care of it all. God will provide whatever we need, and we're all set. Our second thought was this. Maybe Jesus doesn't want us to look like a tourist when we're walking around with all that luggage. We need to look like an insider, not an outsider when we're talking to people. So maybe we need to forget the luggage and not be a tourist, but live in this space and talk with the people just as we are. And finally, we thought, this is an urgent thing, and we need to hurry up and get going and just do this. So what could it mean to leave everything and follow Jesus? What if leaving everything was our baggage? Our preconceived ideas of how one should live and be in relationship? What if leaving everything behind was knowing that we are loved unconditionally by God? As Simon Peter says in verse 8 of our scripture, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." Well, apparently, Jesus wants sinners, authentic people, because Jesus responds this way, "Leave everything and follow me." Well, what if leaving everything was leaving your fears behind? Your fear of failure. Your fear of that you're not good at something. The fear that we may need more training before we can do the next thing. What if leaving everything was leaving your fears behind? And how can we follow Jesus And when I say Jesus, I mean Jesus, but I also mean Jesus' example. Is there only one way? Of course not. We've already heard from the Magi and shepherds that there is more than one way. What if we meant follow Jesus' example, meant everything we do in work, in fun, in play, in relationships, in everything we do in living life? How would your everyday life be different if you were to follow Jesus' example in everything? And how would it be the same? How would your life be the same if you were to follow Jesus' example? Would you feel at peace? Would you feel at home? Do you think when you are living out your God-given gifts, you feel in that groove? You feel on purpose? And do you feel at home? So, a couple of years ago, I used to stand on the street corner of South Salina Street and East Washington with the folks at the faith community called The Road. And we would interact with people, anybody walking by, we'd talk with, pray with if they'd like a prayer. We'd give them a lunch. We had a brown bag lunch and warm socks in the winter. And we would offer Holy Communion to whoever would like it. And in that space and time, I felt most at home. What makes you feel at home? Could you leave everything and follow Jesus' example? Could you give up your bad habits and your baggage and follow Jesus? Could you stop holding a grudge and stop gossiping to follow Jesus? Could you just get over yourself and realize it's not all about you and follow Jesus? And could you let go of your fears to be the best you could be to follow Jesus? That big, big question of following Jesus' example. WWJD. This is a tall order. What would Jesus do? Could you follow Jesus as a faithful, nonviolent, calling out for justice, stop judging and gossiping, share everything with others, be a teacher, a healer, eat with tax collectors, those people down at the IRS on their lunch break, the prostitutes, or even the homeless, just like Jesus? And if you were to follow Jesus' example, this example of all these things named, being nonviolent, eating with folks who may or may not make us uncomfortable, would you feel at home? Our Lenten series, Gifts of the Dark Wood, may help us to discern our answer to this question. Our Lenten series may be experienced in worship, or in small group, or even both. I found it interesting when I started reading the book, Gift of the Dark Woods, that our finding home links so well with our Lenten series. And so I want to read to you, and it's right on page 1, chapter 1 in this book. Gifts of the Dark Wood. This quick thing. These were brief moments of awakening when something way down inside suddenly leapt to attention and cried, "Home!" Yet much of the time, you may feel far from home. And it goes on to this. This book is about finding your place in this world at the very point where you feel farthest from it. It's about recognizing the fierce beauty and astonishing blessing that exists within experiences that most of us fear, but none of us can avoid. And it goes on to say, the author is speaking here, Eric Elness, Years ago, I made a list of my proudest achievements in life. Looking over the list, I was struck by the realization that nearly everything on my list was directly or indirectly a result of a failure, a loss, or a disappointment that forced me to look at my situation differently and produced a creative result. Finding home. So where do we go from here? To answer this question, could we leave everything and follow Jesus? Well, I'm thinking we dive right into our reflection on our lives to ask ourselves again and again and again, could I leave everything and follow Jesus' example? If I can, how do I continue to do this and strive to feel at home with God? How do I do this? How do I feel at home with God, with the Holy Spirit, with life, with compassion, or with Jesus? And how do I follow Jesus to be the best person that God has designed me to be? Amen.